after we sing this, everyone will ask probably Morris just to come.
Evening, and Pastor Tommy has a few days off this week, and he's going to try and get away. He said he might have been here, it all depends on what they got up to. So, thank the Lord to get in good weather, and hopefully, he continues to get the good weather, and hopefully, we all continue to get the good weather. We've seen enough rain for a while. I just want to bring maybe not that long a word tonight, but. If you have your Bible with you, you could turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I want to tonight, just to bring a word, if there was a title, it would be encouragement. I just want to encourage you tonight. You know, there's plenty of things in this world that discourage us, but I want to encourage you. You know, maybe you think something's not going the way it ought to be going. Don't worry about it. Leave it with the Lord. It says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. That's what the wee song says. Leave it there, leave it there. Mm-hmm. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Maybe we'd stand our feet and we'll read this. we'll read Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We'll just bow again for a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can come into this place and put aside a time to worship you, to give you the glory, the honour and the praise. And Lord, our lives are so busy and there's so much to distract us and take up our time. And it could be work, it could be some other thing, Lord, that we think needs done, but really it didn't need done. But Lord, help us in this, just this little time tonight, to wholeheartedly concentrate on you, and to put our thoughts on you, and our minds on you, and to think of what you have done for us, and to thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just really want to give you our thanks tonight, and give you our praise tonight, and say thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Lord, if I can't say anything else tonight, that's it, Lord. I want to thank you. I want to praise your mighty name. I want to say hallelujah, Jesus. Precious Lord, I thank you now in and through your precious name. I pray for each one here tonight, Lord. You know every need. You know it, Lord, before I even ask it. And Lord, you're more than able to do it. And I pray and believe that you have done it and you've answered prayer already. For those that couldn't make it tonight, Lord, those that's working, those that's maybe something else on or holidays, bless them now, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Provide every need and do them good, Lord Jesus Christ. For the remainder of this service, I pray, have thy way. And Lord, we welcome you. We welcome that Holy Spirit into this service now. For it's in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats tonight. I thought I heard the door. Yep. So in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident. We ought to be confident tonight, because the Word of God says, being confident of this very thing. So he's going to tell you, what is this very thing? This very thing says that he which had begun a good work in you, who has done started this good work in you? The Lord Jesus Christ. On that day when you bowed your knee, you bowed your head, and you said, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a guilty sinner. I don't deserve eternal life. But because of what you've done for me, and what you went to that cross and you died, and you gave your life for me, that's why I have confidence tonight. Because it wasn't me that begun it, but it was you. It's confidence of the very thing which he hath begun, the Lord Jesus Christ. A good work in you, and it says, and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have that promise tonight. This is a promise for us. What Jesus has started, he'll finish. Where, you know, we have a fault, each and every one of us. We maybe start something, and we decide we'll do something. And we maybe have great intentions, and we could start something. And then we'll say, well, I can't get it finished now. I'll get back to it. And you know, each and every one of us probably has done that, and they'll say, I'll get back to that. I've only got a wee job to do, and I'll finish it. And it could sit there for a long, long time, and you could walk in right past it. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but we were on holiday last week. You know where the suitcases are? Still, they've made it from the front door to the hallway now, and they still haven't, like, Alva has everything washed, all the clothes washed. But the empty cases are still in the hall. You know, they still haven't got that wee bit. And I said last night, I said, Alva, I'll get them away tomorrow. And you know, they're still sitting there. But there's other things we think we would do around a house. Maybe some wee job. Maybe a light bulb needs changed. Something like that. We can be guilty of that. And you know, that's maybe not that important. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when he starts something, he'll see it through you. Because you know what it says in Malachi? In chapter 3, and just take your time and turn to it. Malachi chapter 3, and I'll get it here. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 16, it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's what we ought to do. I want to encourage you tonight to speak often one to another. You know, not to say, well, there's somebody and they're having a rough time of it, or they're not, maybe they're not going as well as what they used to go. Or maybe they're just, what people have a phrase, a bit down on it. But we ought to speak often one to another, and what to encourage each other. And it says, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Then they that feared the Lord speak often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. The book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Who was the book written for? For those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. That's me, that's you tonight. That's the believer tonight. And in verse 17, here's a promise again. It says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." What is the jewels? It says here in my margin, you know what it says in my margin? It says, a special treasure. That's what you are tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. You're a special treasure tonight. In the eyes of the Lord, you are his jewels. And he said, and not they, it says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord." That's where the Christian's going to be. It's going to be the Lord's. You know, there's no doubt. There's people in the world today, and they don't know where they're going. They're afraid of death, because when they die, they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know where there's a God. They don't know where there's something after this life. They don't know where they just go to the grave and that's it all over. But here's a promise from the Lord. He says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spur them as a man spurreth its own son that serveth him." You are a special treasure tonight in the eyes of the Lord. You know, I was thinking many things there. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that wall. You know, the stone wall. And I was thinking about that because after that, I was out on one of the runs I do. And you know, on one of the runs I do, the run I normally do, there's a man on it. And the only way to describe him is you'd have to describe him as a master stonemason. That's the only way you could describe him. When you see what that man can do with a stone, stones that you just gather out of the field. You know, I know at least a couple of places where he's done. And if you've seen the stones in the yard waiting for him to come, and I'd say to one of the guys years ago that got him to do a porch on a house, they're having problems with the weather, and the wind and the rain was always hitting the front door. And he said, I'm going to get such and such to build me a porch. And he got a load of stones, and I said to him, "Where did you get the stones? What are you using them stones?" And he says, "Them stones are just out of the field. When they ploughed up the field, and it's just lumps of stones." And if you looked at them stones, you'd say, "How would you ever build with them stones?" If you'd seen them, you would say, "I'll dig ashore and I'll throw them in it and we'll bury them." But you know, the Bible says in the Psalms that he took them out of the miry clay. I have it wrote down here somewhere. I would wrote down in Psalm 40 and verse 2. He said, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." He brought them out of the miry clay. And them stones are brought out of the clay. And if you've seen them and you looked at them, you'd say, what shape of wall is that going to be when that man is building them? Just a stone like what you would gather. Big stone, maybe round. But you know the difference. That guy is a master. He can lift that stone and he can handle it. And he can look at it and he can say, "That stone just needs that corner took off it. That stone just needs a chop there, and I'll split it." And have you seen the finished object? Have you seen what he could do? And it's not like one of these guys that maybe builds stone walls and there's a big joint in it, 2 inches of cement, and then stone set on another one. It's maybe not even the width of your fingers, the joint between all the stones. And it's a thing of beauty. You know, when you look at it, it's a thing of beauty, and you'd say, "That wall will cost you thousands. It's bound to cost you thousands. I don't know what it would cost." But if you looked at it, you'd say, "I'm sure they paid something for that wall." But why? Because the master's hand was upon it. You know, the master's hand's upon us tonight. And you might think, "Well, you know, I'm only just going to church and I don't do nothing. I'm just a member and I don't preach. I don't even pray out loud in the service. I'm not an elder. I'm not a deacon. I don't really help out. I don't do this and that." But that doesn't matter. You know why? Because in the Lord, you know, when Jesus saved you, he paid the exact same price for you that he paid for me. He didn't say, "Well, there's Mark Anderson. And there's Mark, and I'm going to use him, and he's going to stand at the door for me, and he'll help out and maybe do this and that. And there's Gary, and Gary's going to be a song leader for me. And he's going to play the guitar, and he's going to lead the singing. And there's maybe Brother John, he's an elder, and he's going to preach." Jesus didn't look at you like that. You know what he looked at you as? He looked at you as a guilty sinner. That he was going to pay a price for you. And what was that price? It was the only begotten son's his death on the cross, where he shed his blood at the whipping post for your healing. And then he went to the cross and he gave up the ghost for you and for me. You know, and it was an account in the Bible. You'll read about it in Mark and in Luke. And the disciples, I'll give Matthew the verse here you can put up. Luke chapter 9, 47 to 48. And who says this is the disciples? And you can read the account of this. And here's these guys, and I believe it's the 12 disciples. And at this point in their lives, Jesus has already sent them forth out before this. And he says, I'll give you a power over unclean spirits. Excuse me. And they went out. And you could say these boys had some meeting. They had some revival meeting. And everywhere they went out and they preached. And people were healed and delivered. And they said even the spirits were subject unto them. And these guys, this is what Jesus had done. And then they come back after they've been out on their own. They come back. And they're with Jesus. And then one day they're with Jesus. And Jesus has preached for a while. And there's this whole multitude out. And it gets late in the day. And Jesus says, we're going to have to feed these people. And the disciples think, well, you know, how are we going to feed them? There's at least 5,000 men here, not counting women and children. And then what happens? That little boy brings that. Was it 2 fish and 5 barley loaves? And the miracle, Jesus performs a miracle. He prays over it and blesses it and breaks it. And the multitude is fed. And they take up them baskets, them of raiments after it. And there's more than enough for each and every one of them. And they see this. And then what happens? It's a mighty miracle. And then, about a week after that, you can read this all in your Bible. About a week after that, here comes a man to Jesus, and he says, Lord, have mercy on me. He says, my son has a spirit, and he's dumb, and he foams at the mouth, and it rents him and tears him sore. And Jesus, he has mercy on him, and he prays for him, and he delivers him. And the disciples say to him, how come we couldn't do that? And he says, well, this kind only come without by prayer and fasting. And the disciples see this. And you know what happens? They walk along the way. They're heading back to Galilee or some of them places they're heading back to. And they start to have a discussion among themselves. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest among them? Can you imagine if you were in that position where you were with Jesus? You would feel, if that was me, I would nearly be ashamed to walk behind him. You know, you might say, well, no, you wouldn't. But you know, there's testimonies. Like I remember listening, maybe it's a few years ago now, but I listened to them testimonies of men and women that had been with Brother Branham. And Brother Branham was a prophet of God. I believe that with all my heart to this last church age. Now, we don't worship a man. Definitely not. Because every man will fail you, no matter who they are. There's nobody in this Bible, no prophet, that didn't fail. They all, you know what it was? It was to show the humanity that they're only a human, they're only a man. But Jesus, he didn't fail you. But then people, they had testimonies and they said, when they were in with Brother Branham, and when that spirit of the Lord really moved upon him, they were nearly afraid to be in his presence because they knew that he could tell them what they were thinking. They knew that they said it was nearly like being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it wasn't Jesus Christ, it was William Branham, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ working through him because it's the Lord that heals. It's the Lord that does these mighty miracles. And, you know, and by faith, he's still able to do it today. You know, Nigel, I think it was, or somebody shared on the thing about that little boy in A.A. Allen's meetings that was healed. Who was that? It wasn't A.A. Allen done it. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why that was able to happen? Because over 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ went to that whipping post. For me and for you, that's why that happened. And he shed his blood by them stripes on his back. Stripes, that was prophesied 600 or 700 years before by Isaiah the prophet. Prophesied of it. And here's these men, and they're in the presence of Jesus, and they said, who's the greatest amongst us? And Jesus then, I'm sure Jesus was thinking to himself, these guys, I can't get it into their head. You know, he's maybe thinking, I've been with these guys a couple of years now and they're still none the better. I'd say, if we were there, he'd probably say the same about us. These guys, what am I going to do with them? And he brings a little child out to the front and he says, here's this little child. He says, what does it say in Luke chapter 9, 47 and 48? It says, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Sirs, it is. It's the least amongst you, he'll be great. And the greatest that you may think might be, you may think he's the greatest, he could be least. You know, we're all, talk about equal rights. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you're, everyone's equal. Man, woman, boy, girl, all the same. You know why? Because the same price was paid for each and every one of you. Jesus didn't have to pay more for me than what he paid for you. He paid the exact same price. And to encourage you tonight, there's a verse there, and it says in Hebrews chapter 10, on verse 24 to 25. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And here's what this says. It says, and let us consider one another. Now, Gary prayed there tonight, Lord, strengthen us. And that's our prayer, strengthen us, Lord. But you know, here's something that we can strengthen each other also. Because it says, and consider one another. That's us. He's talking about us. Let us consider one another to provoke. Now, when you think of provoke, some people might think, oh, you provoke to anger. But provoke has two different meanings. It can be a provoking to anger, but it can also be a provoking to something else. And it says, if you look up the dictionary, it says to provoke. You can stir up somebody in a good way. Stir them up. You can encourage them. You can challenge them. You can stimulate them. And you can cause a reaction by provoking them. So when it says to provoke, this is provoke in a good way. Is to provoke, to stir up one another, encourage one another, and says unto love, and to do good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. See, I believe there's one of our biggest problems. We maybe not intentionally, but we can miss the odd meeting, and people have good excuses to miss meetings. When I say a good excuse, I mean like a proper excuse, maybe working or something, you know. But if it's just like, if you're missing meeting because you just don't feel like it, or if you're missing meeting because something's on TV, or you were there in the morning so I don't have to go at night, I believe that can be something that'll take away instead of add on to it. See, it's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So even back here, that was the same. They had the same problem. Right from, like, there's nothing new under the sun. These guys had the same problem back then. But exhorting one another. If you exhort one another, you say, welcome, brother, welcome, sister. I'm so glad to see you in the service tonight. I'm so glad that you come out, that you made the effort to come here tonight. I'm glad to see you here. I'm glad that you've come here. And we're going to have a time with the Lord. I'm glad that you're here because now that I know that you're here, I know that somebody's going to pray tonight. I know that somebody's going to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for them. Excuse me a minute. I know that somebody is going to pray for the pastor tonight, that the Lord would continue to use him and to strengthen him, and that souls would be saved. Now that you're here tonight, I know that somebody's going to pray for our loved ones, that the Lord would save the lost, that our children, our parents, brothers, sisters. You know, because I know that you have the same desire as what I have. And if you have made that effort tonight, the Lord is going to honor it. You know, that's encouraging. I want to encourage you tonight. I think I'm speaking now. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here tonight. You know, we can all be tired. We can all maybe just sometimes not think about it. But you know, a good athlete, it'll not matter what way you feel, they'll press on anyway. You know, and what is it? It's all about a real athlete. It's not even the day of the race. You know what it is? It's the weeks and months before the race, where on the windy, cold, wet morning, when you'd waken and you'd hear the wind and the rain hitting the window and you'd say, no, I'll not get up this morning. You know what that athlete does? He gets up anyway and he gets his shoes on him, his trainers, and he gets out and he starts to run. And he maybe run 5 or 6 miles. And it'll not matter to him how hard the wind's blowing or how wet it is. And he'll do that every day that he's planned. And then, you know, that sticks to him because he'll not be discouraged by just a bit of wind and rain or a bit of not feeling like it. He'll press on. And you know what most athletes have? They have a coach. And that coach will be there. And maybe some morning they'll come in and they'll say, I'm not really up to it this morning. And the coach will say, don't worry about that. Here's what you're doing. I want you to do this, that, and the other. When you do that, you're going to do this. And then I want you to eat this today. I want you to eat that. I don't want you to eat any of this. But today you have to eat so many carbs, so much protein. And he'll give them a plan. And he'll say, you stick to that, you'll get the results. And no matter what you feel, if you stick to it, as long as you stick to it, you'll get these results. And then, you know what, all that 10 months of preparation and all them, and you don't feel like it. You see, when the day of the race comes, and no matter where it's raining or the sun's splitting the trees, that boy's ready. He's ready to push on. And if the rain comes, he'll say, that's nothing. I'm used to this. I can do this. This is nothing. I've trained for this. And here, what does the word say? It says, provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So you have to agree. I'd say you'd have to, each and every one have to agree tonight that we're closer to the coming of the Lord than what it has been. And then when you see what's happening around us in the world, laws that have passed, people 10 years ago you wouldn't have believed the half of the stuff that's gone on. You said, no, that wouldn't happen. And now when you see how quickly things have progressed, and how such a small minority, how they seem to have nearly, I don't even know what you would say, they seem to have the favoritism in a way where they're promoted. They're being promoted as if it's a normal. And if you don't agree with it, there's something wrong with you. If you don't agree with their beliefs and their terms, you're the problem. It's not them that's the problem. You're the problem. But here's the problem for them. If I can't find their beliefs in this Bible, it's their problem. And you know, here's another problem for them. Their beliefs are in this Bible, but you know what they are? They're the qualifications for hell. It says they'll not enter. And that's the problem with them. You know, you'd say, oh, a lot of things about, but I don't want to go into that tonight. But I want to provoke, I want to stir you up, encourage you. And I never said it, but you know, to encourage, I looked up the meaning of encourage. Encourage means to support, to hearten you, to cheer you, to uplift you, to inspire you, champion you, to strengthen you, to enrich you, to boost you, and to advance you. That's all some of the means of encouragement. And, you know, we go back to that wall. And you might think, well, I'm only a little stone. And I'm not really maybe in the shape I ought to be. But it doesn't matter because, you know, I talked about that guy, that master stonemason. And what does he do? He lifts a stone and he looks at it. And maybe he'll take a bigger stone. And he'll say that big stone will go down there. And you might think, well, there's a preacher, he's a big stone there, but I'm only a little stone. But you know what happens? You get a big stone and then you get another big stone. But then there's a gap. That gap has to be filled. And he doesn't, the filler, the gap, he doesn't go and say, I need a big stone. He look around and say, where's that wee stone? I need that stone. That stone's just what I need. And he look at it and he say, there's that wee stone. And it's just what I need, but it's just not right. He says, you know what I need? I just need a wee tap there and take that rough edge off it. You know, we need the rough edges took off us. And how does God take the rough edges off you? You know how he takes it off you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, and such for some of you, but ye are washed. Here's how he does it. You're washed. What are you washed in? The blood of the Lamb. You're washed in the word of God. It says, but you're sanctified. That's where you're cleaned up. It says, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. That's how we're shaped. That's how we're shaped tonight. That's how God, maybe he's the master. You know, that guy, when I spoke to him, I seen him there 2 weeks ago. He was building his own garage. And it's an old garage. It's been there. And you know, it's a really, years ago he'd done a front of a garage that he has. But he started now this hour, but it just looked like a wee old house. And the walls, maybe at point, were up to that height. It was all down at one end. And he built up a block. And he's built it up a block. But now he's starting to do the whole face of it with this stonework. And over the last couple of weeks, it's really starting to look well. And I seen him there one day when I got out. And I said to him, I says, that's a lovely looking wall. That really looks the part. You know what he says to me? He says, I've been at this a long time. That's what he said. I've been at it a long time. But you know, what is about our master, stonemason? He's been at it a really long time. He's been at it from before the foundation of the world, before the creation. You were a thought in his mind before the foundation of the world. You know, and he's the real master. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. He knows that you need washed. He knows that you need sanctified and justified and baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then what does he do when he gets you out? He puts that stone in and just fits. And what does that wee stone do? You know what that wee stone does? It holds them two big stones together. And them two big stones, maybe they were a bit loose, but see, once that wee stone gets in there, they're not for moving. And then you know what happens? He gets an R stone and he puts it on top of it. And the whole thing comes together. And what does it do? It stands strong. And it talks about stand in the Bible. And I wrote down in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So what are they standing in? They've access by faith into grace. They're standing in grace. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what they're standing in. This wall standing strong. And you know, the church stands strong in grace. By the grace of God. It's not by works. It's by grace. That's how you stand strong. And you don't stand strong on your own. You stand strong when there's a group of you. And you're built together. That's how you stay strong. And it says, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15. I'll read it here, if you have time to turn to it. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So here's telling you to stand fast. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Don't be compromising. You know, different ones one time said to me they were going somewhere. And I said, it's up to you where you go there. But I'll give you some advice. I says, don't compromise on what you believe. But you know, the sad thing is, I think they have compromised on some of the stuff they do believe. Because, you know, if you know something to be wrong, and then you're prepared to go and listen to something that you can't find in the Word of God, you are compromising whether you believe it or not. You know, you could say, well, do they preach the Trinity there? In the sense of God in three persons. Well, They do. Or can you show me it in the Bible? Well, they'll go to maybe the favourite verse in Matthew 28 about baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But we know that that's only titles, that's not the name. And in the book of Acts, you'll not find anywhere where they do that. In the book of Acts, it's always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you never read about God the Father or God the Son as a person in the Bible. Well, you know, people will compromise and they'll think, well, like, it doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't really matter about them things. But in a sense, it is a compromise. It says in the Word of God, stand fast. It says, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Like, how can you worship in truth if you reject what the Word of God says? You're not really worshiping in truth. And if you're not really worshiping in truth, you're not worshiping really to the potential that God has for you. I believe if you worship in spirit and in truth, there's greater potential. Because you know why? Because here's one. If somebody come in here and they needed a healing touch in their body, and we believe that the Lord's still able, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the healing is in the atonement, and that Jesus paid the price all them years ago. And when we look at our Bible and it says, call the elders and let them lay hands on them and anoint them with oil, and the sick will be healed. Or we can read where two or three praying together agree is touching anything, it shall be done. We have confidence that the Lord will do it. But you know, if you go somewhere and they say, well, that was really only to establish the church, and we don't really believe that that's for today, don't be telling anybody they're laying hands on me. You know, I had a friend, and somebody was talking about healing one time, and she says, they needn't lay hands on me. They needn't be laying hands on me. But, you know, that's just what they've been taught over the years and years. That's just what they've been taught. But really, if they read the Word of God, that's the way to get deliverance, is to have hands laid on and prayed for. But it says, whether by word or our epistle. So where you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So what was it, word of mouth, what they've heard, what the apostles taught them, or our epistle? And that's the same epistle we have tonight. But that's just what I wanted to bring, just a bit of encouragement for you. You know, and there's that verses 2 in 1 Corinthians 12. And it's 12 to 13. I'll turn it. And you, if you read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll read about spiritual gifts and all what in the church. But in verse 12, it says this. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So it's one body, there's many members, but all those members, not just two or three of them, not just the arms and the legs, they're not just the body, it's all the members. And it's maybe not even the members that you see. You don't see your kidneys, you don't see your heart. You know, your heart's one of the main things. If you have a bad heart, what sort of form are you going to be in? Like something that you can't even see. But it says all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In verse 13 it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've been all made to drink into one body, or into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then it goes on, it says about the foot shall say, I have no need of... If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, and so forth. You know what that's like saying? It's like saying, well, I'm not... It's like I said earlier, well, I'm not really doing anything. It doesn't really matter about me, but it does matter. Because you're all the members of the body of Christ. And it says in verse 25, it says that there should be no schisms in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. You know, and that's one of that's, if we could get that where there's no systems, where nobody can say, well, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this or else you're not in. No systems. There's plenty of things maybe that people say, oh, this is a, you have to do this. If you don't do this, then you're not it. It doesn't work like that. It works, you're all one. And you know, I just want to encourage you tonight. Just, you know, all of us can do with encouragement. You know, if somebody says to you, if you've done a job, say, Gary, come and you cut my grass or cut the hedges. And I say to them, Gary, you've got grass well cut. And them hedges, I've never seen them as well cut, but you've done a great job. I'm sure Gary would be saying, that's good. Mark's pleased with that, boy. That's a real good job. I'm glad. You know, it would encourage him that he's doing his job well. If somebody else, and if Carl baked me a cake and I say to Carl, Carl, that was the nicest apple tart I've had. I don't remember when last an apple tart like that. I'm sure Carl would be smiling and saying, Mark loved that apple tart. That's great. And she might be saying, like, that wasn't much effort, but you know, he really enjoyed that. And you know, that's the simple things. That's encouraging. You know, it's just a word of encouragement. And I want to do tonight is encourage each and every one of you here. Every one of you that yous are here and yous are important. You're a part of the body of Christ. We couldn't have a proper meeting without yous. We need each and every one of yous here. We need yous all because when you know, when there's two or three together in his name, what's it say? It says he's in the midst and not that lives. Let's bow our heads tonight and we'll just have a word of prayer and then Gary can take over. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I just thank you once again tonight that you're just one of our number tonight, and I believe that you're here and you've heard our prayers. And Lord, this is your word I've read. Hopefully I brought it across, Lord Jesus Christ, that people are encouraged. But Lord, you're a good God. You're a God, Lord, that loves the unlovable in the world. You're our merciful God. And it doesn't matter to you what we look like on the outside or what we've done, because we're all guilty sinners. But your word says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for me. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for saving so many of my family and my friends. I pray that you'll save all my loved ones, my children, my brother-in-laws, my sister-in-laws, all these, Lord Jesus Christ, all these ones around us, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray you provide every need, no matter what it be. Bless and watch over us, and Lord, provide every need. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord. We have need here tonight, Lord. Lord, we have a need, Lord. We need a hall of our own, Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray tonight, Lord, you know that need. You don't need to be told about that need, but we're telling you, and we're asking you, Lord, to provide that need now. Send it through your name, because, Lord, we want to come and be able to worship you and to praise you and to give you glory and honor without any disturbance, without somebody saying, no, you can't have it. Lord, we want to have freedom, Lord Jesus, to worship you. Lord, our prayer tonight and our desire, Lord, is to see souls saved. Save, Lord, and increase our number. Bring more people in to hear the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, bring more musicians in. Bring more singers in. Lord, bring people in with gifts, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to operate the gifts, Lord, that we've maybe never operated before. And Lord, help us, Lord, to encourage each and every one. Lord, I pray now all these things in and through your precious name. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen.